Lord. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. With the turmoil and strife and helplessness and hopelessness that our city seems to be facing, we know who the hope is. He's the light of this world. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He's the God of this city. Hallelujah. I think it would be all right now that we pray for this city that we live in, that He would send peace and comfort, that He would send strength. God, right now, we stand and we come boldly before Your throne of grace right now, and we pray that You would send peace to our city. God, we pray that You would go forth and work and do a great work in our city here tonight. Oh, You're the God of this city. You're the God of the city. You hold our world in Your hand. Hallelujah. We need You. We want You and we desire You. Hallelujah. 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 Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 23. Ezekiel 22 and verse 23. Thankful for the word that we heard this morning. Prisoners of hope, we have hope in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 22 and 23, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the unholy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. But he said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for that land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and that should stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But he said, I have found none. My message tonight is a simple question to this great church. Can you feel the heartbeat of God? Can you feel the heartbeat of God? Can I tell you that for 3 weeks, 3+ weeks, God has been speaking to me about this very night, confirmed several things to me in the last week, and it was no coincidence, the message that Brother Levine preached this morning. And I don't know if he planned that, but the Spirit of God came into this place at the altar call, and people began to stand in the gap for their children. I believe that God wants to do a work in our hearts a lot tonight. He wants to take us to a new dimension. I wonder, would you with me right now, would you lift your hands and say, God, whatever it is You want to do in my life, I am open. I want to be sensitive to Your word. I want to be sensitive to You and to Your Spirit. Whatever You want to speak into my life, I'm open to that. I thank You, God, for Your word and the burden that You've put on my heart tonight. And I pray that every soul in this place would feel what You have to say to them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we clap our hands and thank Him for what He's done and what He's going to do? Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated. As events have unfolded across the world in the last several months, it would be hard to deny that perilous times have come. As you turn your computer on and press the internet icon, and whether you use MSN or Yahoo or AOL or Fox News or Facebook, your attention is immediately brought to the events that are unfolding around the world and even in our own city that the Bible describes as the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, check. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, check. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Check, 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 check. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Luke 21, and he said unto them, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. I just watched a video clip this week of a man that was in a crowd of people proclaiming that he was the Christ, the Savior of the world. Luke 21:9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things first must come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he to them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And in the last several years and even several months and days, nation has rose against nation. War is just common to all of us now, right? And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Check. Famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall be from the heaven. But before all these things shall ye lay your hand, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. If you have paid any attention to the news, you understand that Christians are being persecuted all over the world right now. Just some weeks ago, a priest and a Christian man was beheaded in a group of Syrian terrorists because they proclaimed that they were Christians. Islamic terrorists have begun to murder kids in Mosul because they claim to be Christians. A 7-year-old boy, I think there's a picture of him, was tortured for being a Christian. This boy's name was Anmol. Evidence suspects that Anmol's 7 years old. His neck was cut, his toes were broken, his hands were slashed and burned, his face was burned, while hot fragments of coal and burning wood were placed on his stomach, burning his abdomen. His mouth was also found tied, and autopsy reports that the reason, the cause of his death, was by drowning, all because the 7-year-old boy proclaimed to follow Christ. I hope that we as the Apostolic Church are aware and are awake tonight that we are living in the last days. I think that many of us have got a wake-up call this last week that one of our own cities in St. Louis resembles that of a war zone. We hear of these crazy things happening overseas, but now it's happening in our backyard, and for some of us, literally in our backyard. I have many mixed emotions and feelings, frustration and sorrow and even anguish. But I've come to preach tonight, not focus on those things, but I've come to preach that it's time for the Apostolic Church to wake up. Church, we have hope that this world is looking for. We have what this world is looking for. And our friends and our families and our neighbors and everybody around us needs to experience the power that we have felt here today. John 4:35, say not ye, there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Can I tell you that revival is not coming and revival is not near, but revival is here. Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Not 4 months, not 4 days, not 4 years. Look on the fields right now. They are ready to harvest. Can I say, look at your families, they are ready. Look at your friends, they are ready. Look at your coworkers, they are ready. Look at your neighbors, they are ready. In Ezekiel 22, God said, I've looked down upon the Jerusalem and I have seen their wickedness. He said, your princes plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour innocent people, seizing treasures and extorting wealth. They make many widows in the land. He said, your priests have violated my laws and defiled my holy things. Your leaders destroy people's lives for money. Your prophets cover them up by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not said. Your common people oppress the poor. They rob the needy and deprive foreigners of justice. There is shedding of blood and idolatry. There is unjust treatment to mothers and fathers and aliens and orphans and widows. You have violated the Sabbath. There is adultery and fornication. There is bribery and usury and extortion. As God looks down on Jerusalem, it is evil and it is wicked and it is corrupt. God said, there is a breach in the wall. Sin has crept in the breach in the wall. Unrighteousness has crept in the breach in the wall. Immorality has made its way through the hole in the wall. I'm looking for somebody that will be willing to work to go and repair the wall. I'm looking for somebody that would be willing to build a hedge or a fence in front of this hole in the wall. He said, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be work, and it will definitely be a sacrifice. But I'm looking for somebody to build a hedge or stand in the gap. God said, there's a giant hole in the wall. Will somebody stand in the gap? You see, when there's a gap in the wall, good things run out and bad things come in. There's a gap in the wall, and sin is seeping inside the city. God was saying, because of this sin, I will enter through that gap and I will use my hand of judgment. But I'm looking for somebody that will stand in the gap of the wall to fight off the enemy that's trying to destroy the people. I'm looking for somebody that will stand in the gap between sin and this people. I'm looking for somebody that will stand in the gap between the people and unrighteousness. God said, because sin is present, because evil is present, I must enter through that hole with my judgment. But I'm looking for somebody to stand between me and the people, between them and my judgment. I was looking for somebody to intercede for them. I was looking for somebody to repair the hole or stand between them and my judgment. But he said, I have found none. I've not found one person that would be willing to build a hedge or stand in the gap. And as I read the pages of Ezekiel 22, there is undoubtedly evilness and wickedness and perversion and immorality sweeping the land. And even though God's judgment should come and would come, it seems that there was a desperation in his voice that said, I sought for a man among them that would build a hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it. God sought, he wanted, he pursued, he searched for, he tried to find one man that would be willing to intercede for the city so that he would not have to destroy it. But he said, I found none. And I ask you here tonight, as we read through that portion of Scripture, can you feel his heartbeat coming off the pages of his word that he sought for a man to intercede for that city, to intercede so that he wouldn't have to destroy everyone in it? Can you feel the heartbeat of God tonight for your city? Can you feel the heartbeat of God tonight for your city? As I look at Jerusalem in Ezekiel 22, and my city and my world, I see a stark resemblance. Wickedness has crept in. Evilness has crept in. Perversion has crept in. Sin has crept in. Immorality has crept in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we read detailing perilous times wasn't just words on a page, but it is a reality right now in our city and in our world. And on this night, here tonight, for Apostolic Pentecostal Church, I hear the voice of God saying, will somebody build a hedge for your city? Will somebody stand in the gap for your family? Will somebody stand in the gap for your world? You see, there's a hole in the wall of our city. There's a hole in the wall of our families. There's a hole in the wall of our family and our church, not our church, our world. Can I tell you that when that hole is there, sin is creeping in and immorality. Have you seen that in our city and in our world? Have you seen the immorality that has taken place? Have you seen the perversion that is just normal and regular every day? Have you seen the wickedness and the evilness that is happening? Not even across the world it is, but right here in St. Louis in our home. God's saying judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, but is there anybody that's willing to work to build a hedge where the hole is? Is there anybody that's willing to stand in the gap for their city through intercession? I wish you'd raise your hands right now and say, God, give me a burden for my family. Give me a burden for my city. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. The harvest is so great, church, that we can't even wrap our minds around it. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. I feel a spirit of revelation in this place right now. Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I've heard that preached 1,000 times, but I feel the heartbeat of God right now. What is our harvest? It's our families, and it's our neighbors, and it's our loved ones, and it's our coworkers, and it's our bosses. It's mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and aunt and uncle and cousin. It's our cousins. You know what? It's thieves, Pastor said in his message on Wednesday night, and prostitutes. It's the bank teller that you see every week. It's the cashier at the gas station and at the grocery store that you see weekly. It's the mailman. It's the doctor. It's the dentist. It's your teacher. It's your professor. The harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. It's great. And the fields are white right now, ready to harvest. These people that you and I come into contact to every day are the harvest. I have noticed recently a dissatisfaction on their face with the unsatisfaction of life. They are seeking various avenues to fill the emptiness, Brother Levine, to find hope, to give their life meaning. They are lost in this world. They are trying to figure out why they are here. What is their purpose in life? What are they doing? How do I go forward and how do I look forward? Has anybody noticed this lately? These people are searching for something more, something that will fill the emptiness and the void inside of their life. Robin Williams, many of you probably know who he is, the comedian and actor, said this, quote, I was in a small town where it was not the edge of the world, but you can see it from there, and I thought, drinking. I just thought, hey, maybe drinking will help. Because I felt alone and afraid, he told the newspaper. And you think, oh, this will ease the fear, and it doesn't, unquote. He told Parade magazine in 2013 that his relapse after 2 decades of sobriety was very, very simple. Quote, "One day I walked into the store and saw a bottle of Jack Daniels. And then that voice, I call it the lower power, goes, 'Hey, just a taste, just one.' I drank it, and there was a brief moment of, 'Oh, I'm okay.' But it escalated so quickly that within weeks, I was buying so many bottles, I sounded like a wind chime walking down the street," unquote. The man who made so many laugh and happy, who was worth around $50 million, decided that this life was not worth living anymore. How could a man who could have anything that he wanted and was so bubbly and funny decide to take his own life? Because our hope is not in this world or the things of this world. Robin was searching for something to bring him true happiness, searching for something to fill his heart, searching for something to fill the void that he felt, but he never found that. How many of our friends and family members and people we come in contact every single day are in the same boat as Robin Williams, searching for something more? Can I say that you and I are their only hope, for we can point them to the only one who can bring them true hope? I ask you tonight, can you feel the heartbeat of God tonight for your city? He said, "I sought for a man or woman that among them to build a hedge or stand in the gap." This was in Pastor's notes on Wednesday, and it has shaken me so much this week. If you were lost and your only hope of being saved was a believer like you witnessing to you, what would be your chances of being saved? Can I say that even this afternoon, I begin to weep and cry as I kept reading over that and over that. If you were lost and your only hope of being saved was a believer like you witnessing to you, what would your chances of being saved? What would be your chances of being saved? The harvest is so plenteous. We've got to talk to everybody. We've got to tell everybody we come in contact to that there is hope beyond this life. There is hope beyond this world. Jesus Christ is their only hope. Can I tell you that they are searching? I've heard some people say they're not hungry and they don't want it. That may be a select few, but the fields are white, all ready to harvest. There are people that are hungering and thirsting after what we have and searching for what we have. Currently in a Bible study with a young man. His name is Chris. We've only been doing it for about 3 weeks. Chris has hair all the way down to his shoulders. And his dad also. I don't know a whole lot about Chris, but I can tell that he has had a very bad life. He's 20 years old, and as I began to talk to him, he told me that his mom left him when he was a baby. This had a drastic effect on him and his father, as you can tell just by their appearance, and just you can just tell by the words that he says. Chris sat down the first night, we talked, and I said, "Chris, do you know anything about the Bible?" And he said, "There was a man named Abraham in there, isn't there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "And I think I heard that there was a guy named Noah in there, right?" I said, "Yeah, that's right." I said, "Tonight we're gonna talk about Adam and Eve. Have you ever heard about Adam and Eve?" And he said, "No, I've never heard of Adam and Eve in my life." It's almost like he didn't even have a chance. You and I, You and I are called to bring hope to this world that we live in, church. We weren't here. We are not here to sit in this beautiful auditorium and go through the motions and sit in these beautiful pews and just have Wednesday night service and Sunday night service. But you and I are called to be witnesses, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This place is not an auditorium for the saints, but this place is a hospital for the hurting. This place is a hospital for the sinners. We've got to reach the lost, church. We've got to reach them. Forgive me if this is too blunt. I think I've talked with Pastor, maybe Brother Levine, and I'm thankful for the people that God fills with the Holy Ghost in this church just last Sunday. But church, we are not having enough people being filled with the Spirit of God in this church. I wish that this carpet and this altar was so worn that we had to replace it from sinners getting down on their face and repenting of their sins and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you feel the burden that He's given me here tonight? We have not had enough people go down in this baptistry. I'm thankful for the 10 or 15 or maybe 20, but we should be baptizing hundreds, hundreds of people in this baptistry every single year. Hundreds of people, what are you talking about? The fields are white and ready to harvest. The harvest truly is great and is plenteous. I wish that Pastor would step behind this pulpit and say, we've got to get a new baptistry. We've got to donate money for a baptistry because it's worn out. That's what we need, church. That's what we need. God, give me a burden for the lost. Give me a burden and a passion to see lost souls saved. As I sat with Chris, I've been overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed that this is one little life that I have touched, that I taught Adam and Eve to. And there are hundreds and thousands of people that I meet and come in contact to every week that I haven't got a chance to tell them about Jesus. I wish somebody would lift their hands right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God, give us a burden. Give us a passion. Give us a desire to see lost souls saved. Can I preach to you tonight that God isn't looking for somebody that only has passion for a church service? Only for a week or only for a month. God, forgive us for hearing your voice and feeling your heartbeat and then just letting it die. But God is looking for somebody that wants to feel the burden of his heart. He wants to feel his heartbeat. Someone that's willing to feel the hurt and the pain that he feels when he looks down on our city and on our world. Is there anybody that wants to feel his heartbeat here tonight? He's looking for somebody that's willing to fast and pray for their city. Somebody that's willing to weep and cry for the city. Somebody that's willing to spend hours of intercession for their family members, because if they don't get right with God, they're going to hell. It's getting late, church, and the clock is winding down. The clock is ticking. Does it stir anyone in this building tonight that your family, your lost loved ones, your co-workers, your neighbors may be headed to hell if they don't get in touch with God? Does that stir anybody here tonight? I have a burden on my heart. I'm trying to get it off right now. But church, we are called to reach this lost and dying world. I've relayed this a couple of times, but my last two employments, I worked for Buddy DeLong, one of the greatest Christians I know, and grew up in that. And I worked for another man that was a Christian also in my job right now, my current job. I don't know what other way to explain it is. It feels like a dungeon of sin. Is that all right? Many of you have felt that before. There's not one person that I have come in contact to and 50 individuals that's there that goes to church. A lot of them told me they don't believe in the Word of God, and a lot of them told me that they don't even believe in God. But I tell you what, they are hungry. And they are thirsty, and they are searching. You should hear the questions that they ask me on a daily and weekly basis about my church and about my God and about His Word and why I live the way I do and why I say the things that I do. Because why is that? They are searching for something. They are looking for hope. Well, you haven't brought them to church. No, I haven't brought them, but let me tell you what, when I do bring them, I could fill this entire section up with employees that work with me at that one place. Every single person in this church is capable of winning a soul. Every single person is capable of winning a soul. It is not just for the ones that are outgoing, but every single person has a way to contact and touch the people around them. Would you stand with me right now? I've asked some people to come and help me. Would you come and stand in the front? Men that I've asked. I close with this. This man right here, wouldn't price the shotgun to take his life because life wasn't worth living anymore. But God intervened. It's a co-worker that sent him a Bible study in the mail and sent him six churches, and this church was the second one on that list. And instead of committing suicide that day, Brother Fred is a faithful member of Apostolic Pentecostal Church. One man decided that his soul was worth it. Sister Natalie Black worked with Aaron Bachman, began to witness to him. And Aaron Bachman is the leader of our outreach department at Apostolic Pentecostal Church because one person stepped out of their comfort zone and began to witness to him. This man right here grew up in this thing. Some reason, Brother Luke, he let go of the rope. For 10 years plus, he told me this morning that he was in a backslidden nature, walked away from God. But I have to believe that there was a praying mother that was ready to stand in the gap and intercede for his soul. This man right here was homeless, was an alcoholic, testimony out of this world. One man sitting right there began to give him a Bible study, began to invite him to church. Jeff Dales is a faithful member of Apostolic. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and now he has a beautiful family, and he has beautiful hope in Jesus Christ. This man right here only had his father's example to follow after, military man, drunk, he's an alcoholic, did drugs, smoked three packs of cigarettes a day, cussed like a sailor, didn't know any better. But over in Hawaii, there was one man that decided that his soul was worth it, that he was going to say something to him. He received that power to overcome sin, a licensed minister in the United Pentecostal Church, and I call him Dad today because one man decided to stand in the gap for the people around him. Listen, I close with this. We have got, this was in Pastor's Notes Wednesday. I stole this, Pastor. We have to witness like heaven is real. When we talk about heaven and this church, we get excited. Who wouldn't when we talk about dancing on streets of gold and gates of pearl? No more sickness, no more pain. We get to cry out, holy, 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 and see the one God that we've worshiped and lived for our whole life. We must keep that in our mind, and we must witness to everybody because we have hope beyond this world. But we must witness like there is a hell. Because as sure as there is a heaven, there is a hell. God said, my judgment is going to come on this earth. Fire and brimstone is going to happen. There will be gnashing of teeth, and it will burn for eternity. Has that entered your mind that it could be your family members, that it could be your neighbors, it could be your coworkers, it could be people that you talk to every day that do not have hope, that may burn an eternal fire because you and I didn't reach out and tell them about Jesus? I ask tonight, can you feel the heartbeat of God? This is His word. I'm seeking for a man or a woman among you that would be willing to build a hedge or stand in the gap. I open this altars right now. Maybe you want to intercede for somebody. Maybe you want to ask God to give you a burden. I feel there is a heaviness that is in this place already. I wish that you would just respond to God as He's talking to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray that you would give us a burden to see our city saved, that you would give us a burden to see our family saved. God, I pray that you would give us boldness in the Holy Ghost to reach out to everybody that we can. Oh,
some sort.